Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today, I know today's date. It was easy. It's June 1.
It's first of the month. Pay that rent.
First of the month.
Pay that rent.
How's everybody doing? We back. We in the studio 2 weeks in a row. We lit. Yeah. Popping.
We doing
we
it.
We live, baby.
We live. The weather's breaking finally.
Finally.
A little bit. Anyway.
Very little.
Yeah.
Because it was like 53 degrees yesterday morning.
It was.
I had to warm the car up. Yeah,
the day before yesterday was 53 degrees.
Yeah, it was cold.
All day.
Yeah, yeah. Sunday, right? Yeah, it was.
No, like Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Monday, yeah.
Yeah, it was
Tuesday. Sorry, it's holiday weekend.
It was just trash. Tuesday. The whole weekend.
The weekend was trash.
Yeah. Horrible. Yeah. Like it was pouring rain in. It was cold.
And
I had a hoodie on.
Because actual Memorial Day, well, it was supposed to rain all weekend, but it staved off until Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And like Monday itself was trash. Tuesday was trash. Today the weather started breaking. So, I didn't mind because I was trapped in the house all weekend anyway.
You wanted to be trapped in the house.
I threw my back out. Not doing no nasty. I ain't even see Greg because I was trapped in the house. So I couldn't go nowhere.
How you throw your shit out again?
It wasn't. Well, first of all, shout out to what the fuck is the name of the place I go to? Physician Sports, whatever the name is that I go to.
One of the chiropractor.
The sports facility, the sports medicine facility I go to. So basically, what I learned today. So I know I've had problems with my lower back and I've had it for a while, but I have like some kind of degenerative arthritis, something happening with my spine. It's not just back issues, but the problem is that because of what's going on, it's making it harder and harder for me to engage my core and stuff that I do day to day because my lower back, I mean,
it's not lined up.
For those who, yeah, it's not aligned right. For those of you who know me in person, you know I got a big ass, but like it's been sticking out even further, and I thought it was squats and stuff, but it's because of my spine.
It's
my spine is curving out. So it's making it, so it's not super noticeable. It's not like when you see me, you're going to think I have scoliosis or something. And I didn't even really realize it, but it's making it harder for me to engage my core when I do stuff, which is putting more strain on my back. So I was literally just lifting something, and it wasn't even super heavy, but however I positioned myself, when I went to pull to pick it up, it just like pain just ripped.
Wait, so you think the IG model girls are gonna have this when they get older?
I mean,
with the fake booties and shit.
But see, I
drag
mean,
it
I don't,
down on their spine.
I don't know if it's. I don't know that that's the cause of it. I mean, for me, it's a bigger issue. Like it's starting at the top of my neck, which could honestly be, and I guess all of us will notice soon from years of now looking down at mobile phones and stuff like that. But the top of my neck curves too much forward, so. In like to compensate the bottom of my spine curves too much. It's like it's the two of them are connected somehow. So anyway,
that shit sound painful.
So yeah, there's a lot of there's more physical. I was in there physical therapy last year. I'm going back into physical therapy now. I got muscle relaxers in the meantime. Hallelujah. But anyway, my Memorial Day was gonna be a wash anyway.
Plus it's damp.
So when I saw the weather it was bullshit, I wasn't really that mad. I was in house.
Yeah. See, y'all niggas was laughing at my gout.
But my shit was some normal shit. Like
my gout gone though. Shit, I'm good to go.
It's hey, I, you know real, what? I think
my other shit is cured too.
My other shit.
Plantar fasciitis. I'm at the
point. Oh, your plantar fasciitis.
I don't wear the pad no more.
But that doesn't just go away, Jeffrey. You gotta be careful.
My shit's fine. It don't hurt.
Okay.
This
be
nigga
careful.
Got all the old niggas.
They know it's fucked up, and they all up in my footses.
Yeah.
But I never had no foot problems ever, and then all of a sudden my feet started getting crazy.
Let me tell you about aging: your feet and your fucking back.
My back, God bless, has been nothing, but my feet is like, what the hell is going on with my foot? So,
it ain't no arch support and all them Yoji Yamamoto fucking
one of ones.
Yeah.
You better go get you some Air Force Ones, nigga.
Come on now, shit. So I took the pad out.
Rick Owens ain't got no arch support.
I've been looking at some Ricks, too. I think I'm going to go.
Seriously, though, go to a podiatrist.
I should fine. I should
Listen. Use the insurance.
Yep.
go to the podiatrist, get you the foot pad, the footprint, where they make the insole for your foot.
And you can put it in your fly shit.
Dude, I'm telling, listen to what I'm telling you, bro. I ain't going to steer you wrong. I was a FedEx guy. You gotta be on top of your feet when you're out there in them streets, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you, go get them pads. And I still got mine.
So I just can't go get the Dr. Scholl's from
you can. Those but it ain't those
the
cool.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's not gonna contour to your foot in a way that does. Because you basically take an impression of your foot, and that's how they make the insole. They cut it.
Right.
All right, we'll see. Right now I'm okay. God, let's knock on some wood here.
Shit.
All right. Let's start it up with. Let's start right up. We forgot last week to get the Cuba review.
Yes.
From Naima's perspective, we got it from Sean's perspective a few months ago, but now we're gonna get a second perspective from Naima. So you went to Cuba 2 weeks ago now, correct?
2 weeks ago now, and this is timely because. Orangina is up in there cooking up some shit with his people in his ear.
Oh, by the way, this is going to be pretty much a no Trump show.
Yeah, I'm just going to
Sean said he couldn't take it no more. he couldn't take another Trump show. So we're going
to. I'm going to reference him in this case because.
Yeah, we can do references.
He wanted to. Announce, he's just looking to roll back some of whatever Obama relaxed in terms of Cuban relations.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't decided how extensive that will be yet, which is the only reason he hasn't announced it yet. Cruz and them, who actually are of Cuban descent, are actually in favor of a tighter crackdown.
Of course, because Cruz is a horrible human being.
So I'm kind of surprised because I would have thought that Trump wanted to try to get Trump up in there.
But I bet I wouldn't be surprised if we find out later on this squeeze is because he couldn't get something in there when he wanted to.
Possibly.
And so he squeezed him until he get what he wanted. Because for him, everything is about personal shit, personal business.
But one of the things that he may roll back is the person-to-person interaction, which is what was making the travel easier.
What do you mean person to person?
Well, now, because you can say that, because now there's a person to person cultural exchange allowed in Cuba, which relaxes the reasons that you have to go to Cuba. You still technically can't go just as a tourist, but all the other, but you don't have to have like all kinds of heavy documentation to say, I'm going with this group, I'm going with this, whatever. So to that end, that's the first thing I will say is that at least right now, I knew it was relatively easy to travel to Cuba, but it was even easier than I thought. There are 12 categories under which...
Is it direct or you go through Miami?
No, it's direct. I went direct. And there are 12 categories under which Americans are still allowed to travel to Cuba, which you used to have like some kind of official documentation for.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just choose them when you're booking your flight. You may have to answer a few questions. I had to answer some questions while I was booking a friend of mine.
Did they think he was Cuban?
Huh?
The people
they did think Greg was Cuban. They didn't think I was Cuban. They thought Greg was Cuban.
They thought Greg was Cuban and not you?
They thought Greg was Cuban. And the day we traveled, he had on like a soccer shirt. One of the chicks was like, no. He was like, what? It's how, like, she was hollering at him like, yo, where you been? What's up? What's going on? And I didn't hear it. And later he was like, yo, I think they think. And then finally our job was like, are you Cuban? And I was like, I see that. I can see that. Yeah.
Okay.
So we answered a couple of questions during booking. A friend of mine who booked with a different airline, she got sent a questionnaire. And, you know, you can choose whatever your reason is. But going through customs, nobody checked our reason. Like, we chose journalism. And I was going to say I had a blog or whatever. But nobody asked going. And nobody asked coming back. Like, why are you here? What are you doing? And you do need a special visa still. But most airlines sell the visa at the airport when you're checking in. So you can buy it for like $75.
Oh.
Good to go. Right? So the couple of things I will say, you only need a few days to do Havana proper. You do need to, but if you want to do all of Cuba, you might want to go for like a week or 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Our trip was really pretty easy. We didn't have to go through a lot of the adjustments that a lot of American travelers do because thanks to Sean's recommendation, we stayed in a pretty modern hotel. So we had like Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
We had a mini bar. We had a mini.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, a lot of people go and they stay in like an Airbnb, or even if you stay in one of the more historic hotels that are really beautiful and located, like maybe in Old Havana or something, you're not gonna have banners.
Yeah, you're not gonna. Yeah,
you're not gonna. You maybe not gonna have bottles of water. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You just so the people are lovely. The people are lovely. And they're really not trying to scam you at all. They're trying to make a living.
Yeah. But then they want to welcome you over there. Yeah. They're not trying to get you to go back with no bad
stories.
They're
not really trying to hassle you. Like, the biggest hassle we got was people trying to sell us cigars off the street. Like, that was it. Okay. And it's super safe. Like, I never felt like anybody was scheming on my bag or, you know, anything like that. And the thing is that American tourism is relatively new to Cuba, but there's tourists there. Like, the Euros is all up and through there.
Canadians have been going forever.
They're all up and through there. So that's not new. So even we had asked our driver, has much changed with the influx of Americans? And he was like, we got a couple new restaurants. Like, that's it. And they're got, like, a couple more, you know, people who are trying to drive to do the classic car driving thing, you know, because.
But it ain't like, it's like, oh my God, we have tourism
now. No, it's not changing. Like, they've
wait, so, they've so let me ask a question. So what was the best meal you had?
It was at this restaurant called La Guarita in Central Havana. Everything I read said it was a must visit. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, when I got there, we were looking at pictures and, like, JMB went there, and, like, Jack Nicholson went there, and Rihanna did a Vanity Fair shoot there. You know what I mean?
So I remember that, like, Vanity Fair shoot.
Yeah, so it's, like, the spot. And it's crazy because it's so indicative of everything about Havana. When you pull up in the building, you think the building's condemned. Like, from the outside, you're like, are you sure this is the spot? Like, we were saying, I was like, this, you sure? He was like, no, this is the spot. And you go in, and, like, the first floor, it's so crazy because, like, the stairway is kind of half crumbling. Mm. The wall is kind of half coming apart. There was, like, a car parked in the fucking joint by the stairwell. Like, it looked crazy. But then you go up these stairs, and even as you're going up the stairs, the restaurant's on the top couple of floors. You're seeing, like, these various stages of construction and reconstruction and all this stuff. But this is how everything is in Cuba. Like, one floor can be completely damn near demolished, and then another floor is, like, gorgeous and functional or whatever. And sure enough, when you get to the top, it's, like, this beautiful restaurant space, super cozy, one of the nicest, one of the overall loveliest dining experiences, like, I've had anywhere.
You didn't have wings?
No wings. But, like, from the service, the pacing, the atmosphere, I mean, every, and the food was, it was the best food I had in Cuba. Because the Cuban food is hit or miss, y'all.
What did you have?
They had a lobster with a creamy rice. So to start, Greg had a octopus carpaccio. Mm. I had a pumpkin ravioli. And a salad with, like, goat cheese and walnuts and stuff like that. And then as a main course, did he have the prime rib? He might have had the prime. No, he had the short ribs. And I had the lobster with, like, a creamy rice.
And it was slamming.
It was amazing. And, like, the portions weren't too big. They weren't too small. And then for dessert, he had, like, a triple chocolate tres leche. And I had, like, this lemon tart thing. But everything, and the Cuban coffee is really good. So, like, then he had cappuccino. Yeah. You know? So Cuban food is hit or miss, as a lot of places in the Caribbean are. When you go to, like, the formal restaurants, you gotta go to, like, somebody's house.
You gotta go to the regular shit.
But La Guarita was amazing. There's another restaurant called La, you might have gone here, Sean, La Casino or something like that.
No, we went to La Cristal, where the Obamas went. That's where we went.
Okay.
And we basically had the room, because when we traveled, there was about 12 of us.
Right, so you needed a whole
room. Yeah, so we had the whole room. But yeah, it's the same sort of experience. Yeah. You really get a dining experience. You get, you know, full courses, you know, real silverware.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
They're attentive.
China.
All of that, yeah.
Wait, did you hit the club?
We didn't hit the club. We were going to go to the club the second night we were there, and it was raining off and on all day, and we went so hard the first day that we were just kind of, like, wiped out. It was actually the third full night we were there. We were just kind of wiped out. But we went to a show called at the club, the Tropicana, and it really was like, Greg described it best. He was like, I keep expecting Ricky Ricardo to come out here.
Oh, okay.
And it was another and it was another thing where everybody was like, you should go. It's like classic. It's, like, supposed to be like an old school, like, Havana cabaret, Cuban cabaret. And that's exactly what you expect. Like, you know, like, somebody with, like, some maracas or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was so cheesy. And I realized it was the idea of, like, Cuban excitement and entertainment for, like, middle-aged white people. You know, not like...
It was like a Vegas review.
It was exactly like a Vegas review. So you guys can skip the Tropicana if you go. Where we wanted to go was a place that's supposed to be more up and coming for like the art scene in Cuba, for like the newer art scene in Cuba. It's this old warehouse that's been converted into this multifunctional space with like galleries, live music, food, drinks. It's called Fabrica de Art. And we wanted to go there, but that's the night we knocked out. We went, but there's a lot of great rooftop bars in Cuba to go to. We went to one that that is in a hotel. There's a lot of Hemingway spots in Cuba too. Oh, of course. So we went to one that
Was there a Ricky Ricardo spots there though?
There's not a Ricky Ricardo. I didn't find a Ricky Ricardo spot. I should have looked for that. You're right. I should have actually looked for one because he was Cuban, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Cuban.
He was born in Cuba.
I should have looked for that. Yeah. But there's a lot of Hemingway spots. So there's La Floridita, which is the home of the home of the daiquiri. Mm-hmm. So you can go there, get your drink.
That's the daiquiris are like daiquiri.
Well, they're supposed to be I don't know if they're original, but they're the best.
They taste mad good.
They're wild good. They're not too sweet. They're not too icy. You know how some daiquiris be way too icy.
Shit's like a fucking Slurpee.
They're perfect. They're perfect. They're $6.
So you can get ham for $20.
Yo, we was in there for like an hour. Just not because also everywhere you go in Cuba is just live music. It's just like music in the street, music in the restaurant, music wherever. So we were in there like you know, like knocking them back, chilling. Walk down. We went to Ambos Mundos, I think it's called, is the hotel in Old Havana where Hemingway stayed. Oh, Floridita was a Hemingway hangout too. They have a statue of him in there, like leaning up against the bar. Mm-hmm. And Ambos Mundos is a hotel where he stayed. He wrote two of his books there. They keep his room like pristine. But they have a rooftop bar and restaurant that has beautiful views of the bay. So we went up there, but we didn't go up there at night. We went up there for lunch, and like they serve you pina coladas like out of the pineapple.
That's dope.
And it's like pina colada maybe with like coconut milk or something, and it's perfectly frothy. And it's
wait. So did you see a couple more questions that we're gonna move? But did you see a lot of other black folks?
We saw some, not a lot. Now we were in.
You may see Carolyn.
But we saw
Carolyn Leon.
But there was some other Americans.
Earl of Pan with the sandals. So we met.
What were their names? Gabby and I can't remember his name. But we were in this one area. You would dig this place, Jeff. It's called Fusterlandia. Mm-hmm. It's this neighborhood that where this artist started decorating his house. Started taking like ceramics, like broken ceramics and all stuff, and started decorating his house and all these beautiful colors and ceramics and stuff, and then started spreading out and doing like the whole neighborhood.
Wow.
So we were there and we were like taking some pictures there, and we heard this girl, she was like, let's do a couple shot. We was like, who the fuck? And it was this black girl, her man, they were like from Queens or some shit.
Okay.
You know,
shit.
So Gabby, and I can't remember her man's name, but she came over, she was like, yeah, girl, and we were in the car and we going here, and what y'all doing tomorrow and what? And Greg's face was like, she wanted to like
she was like, what's poppin'?
Trip partner.
Well, you know they're like, gonna be at Essence in July. You'll see.
Yeah, we'll run into them in July. I'm sure they'll be there.
Oh, you gonna see them?
Yeah, she's like, girl, we're trying to rent. What's your email? Email me. I was like, I'll email you on
time. They're gonna be on the Tom's during the cruise.
But all that's like, the two main things, and I think Sean said this because I'm from, like I said, the food is hit or miss. Be prepared depending on where you stay to do whatever you need to do to get the internet or not get the internet. Like, you may just want to be completely unplugged. Every guide you read will say this, but take everything, all your snacks, because you're not going to run across no bodegas, ain't no Duane Reade's, ain't no Rite Aid's, ain't no grocery stores. Like, I didn't see a single store where I could, like, walk in and buy, like,
some shit. They just started to give licenses to private businesses, because remember, everything is government.
It's government-owned, right? Yeah.
True.
Like, literally, the first place I saw where you could just walk in and buy a bunch of shit was in the airport when we were leaving. Like, there was, and it didn't even occur to me because we had everything we needed. But I was like, yo, we never walked past. Like, there's no such thing as, like, let me run in here and get a pack of gum.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't, there's, like, food stands, but not, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you want your snacks, you want chips, you want whatever, bring it. If you can, if you have room in your bag, even bring bottled water. It's not that water is scarce there, but to me, the water had, like, a funny taste to it. The bottled water did. And, you know, you're not going to necessarily drink tap water in Cuba. And you got to bring all the cash you think you might possibly need. All of it.
And then once you figured out how much you have figured out, you say, okay, I'm going to need this amount.
You got to stick to it. Yeah, and get a little bit more.
Bring a little bit more.
Bring all the money.
Because you just never know.
Because you can't get any more. Like, you're done. You can't.
You out there.
No North America.
We got $3 between us.
No North American credit cards.
Yeah, none of that.
The ATMs do not take U.S. debit cards. Like, you ain't no Western Union, ain't no MoneyGram. Like, you fuck. Like, so you got to figure it out. So, yeah, we had to, like we thought we were good, and we took inventory like our second night there. We was like, oh wait, let's reel
it back.
We still need to do cigars, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
You should bring shit back. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like.
But all in all, you recommend the trip highly.
I recommend the trip highly. Definitely need to speak some Spanish.
Okay.
You definitely need to speak some Spanish because a lot of people there are not fluent.
Yeah, they're not fluent.
They're not fluent, and even if I said fluent, they're not fluent, and even. Those who work in hospitality who you will think are fluent, at first they can do what they need to do for their job. As soon as you go like off topic, off
it's
book,
over.
They're like, hey, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's like, I don't really know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. All right. So I got a couple of quick things. I went to see Aliens.
What Alien? There's another Aliens?
Yeah, Aliens Covenant.
I definitely didn't even know that was a thing.
It came out last weekend.
Like a big release?
Yeah. Big release in the days long. It's all right. The franchise is definitely stale. It has potential to be so ill, too. Like,
right.
Same with Prometheus, but it just doesn't... I mean, you know, it was some killing and some aliens and all that, but it just...
Was there... Was there a big release? I don't remember seeing an advertisement. Yeah. I don't remember seeing a poster. I don't remember seeing
Jesse's in it.
Does he smell
up? Yeah, he's in it. Okay.
Is Sigourney Weaver?
He lives. No, Sigourney's not long gone.
Okay.
She's not in none of these new ones. But yeah, I mean, I don't really highly recommend it. Like, if you're a fan of the Aliens, then you just see it, just say you saw it. But like,
right.
it ain't lit. I want to recommend the TV show for everybody. The new season of Fargo on FX. I'm a Fargo fan. I was a fan of the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is the third season that FX has done.
Mm-hmm.
First season starred Billy Bob Thornton. The second season starred Bokeem Woodbine. Well, I think one I got Emmy or something before.
Mm-hmm.
And then this season stars Ewan McGregor.
So is it like different stories every season or something?
Well, it's interesting because it's like, if you know the movie Fargo, it's kind of like each season is a spin on the original story.
Oh,
so okay. There's similarities to the original story, but because there's a woman cop and you know what I'm saying? It's the same, but very different.
Okay.
But Ewan McGregor plays brothers. So it's ill because he's like playing against himself. And I mean, you know, I'm not going to go into the whole plot or whatever, but like the shit is super dope. Like, so see that. Bryson Tiller released his album.
Yeah, he's going to be number one.
Yeah, I'm not surprising.
But people don't seem to love it.
Yeah, I don't love it either. Like, the production, they went up.
Yep.
Like, the producers went up. They're like, they've really mastered that sonic, and they body it. But for me, there's not as much commerciality in the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he slid backwards because... On the first album, the basic theme of the album was, like, I'm a fuck boy, but...
You should fuck with me anyway.
Yeah, because it was to his baby mother.
Right.
Pretty much. Like, I'm a fuck boy, and I'm trying, but I've been fucking up, but I want to kind of still be with you and have a daughter. You know what I'm saying? But I'm still kind of fucking up. And this album is like, I'm just out here fucking chicks.
Okay.
Like, the baby mother's not even barely mentioned.
That's what I think people were saying. Like, it's just like, Bryson Tiller just got a hold of all your text messages and just made an album.
He's a straight fuckboy now. And it's like, what happened to the baby mom? Like, I'm like, okay, if you and the baby mom didn't work out,
right.
That's cool. But then, like, you have to mention that.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, now I'm just out here. Like, but what happened? Because last album, you was basically begging her to, like, come home.
Right.
In this album, you just like, you know, I'm just fucking mad chicks. I'm like...
And what people liked about Bryson was that there was at least some...
There was a...
Real R&B in there in terms of like...
There was what's it called? Vulnerability.
Line? Yeah, vulnerability.
Underneath all of it,
right.
The braggadocio. I ain't fucking with bro.
Sean is like... I know in his head, he wants to say, why are we even talking about this?
I'm like,
right
R&B.
Bryson Tiller is the...
Bro, putting on a confusion down when he gets... Listen, underneath anything...
That nigga couldn't sing Tenor for Lakeside, nigga. He wouldn't make the B team for the Tips, nigga. What are you talking about R&B, nigga?
Listen, underneath all the shit, it was braggadocio. This time, there's no vulnerability.
Right.
I think that's why the first album...
He busting up hoes, nigga.
Well, first album, that's why girls liked it because they heard the vulnerability.
Right.
This time, I'm a bang you and then I'm out.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, they're just not connecting, or
that's why
there's it sounds like just one long song, or yeah, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, but while we're giving shout outs, and I know you two don't watch, shout out to House of Cards. They dropped season 5 on Tuesday.
Heard it's good.
Which they're so whack for dropping it the day after. They usually would come on a Friday before a holiday, but whatever. The thing about House of Cards is that if you watch, and I know you guys don't, so over the course of the series, we've seen Kevin Spacey's character has gone from being a House Minority Whip to the Vice President to the President, but like manipulating his way into mm-hmm. all those spots, right? But he became president in the middle of the term. So where we left off last season, elections were coming. And his opponent, the candidate for his opponent, was like really strong and like really well liked. And he was, his popularity was waning. Mm-hmm. And not that he ever had that much popularity, because like I said, he
came in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So they were plotting, he and his wife were plotting some stuff to kind of throw the country into a little bit of chaos in order to better secure their position. Where I was like, come on, man, y'all going too far now. This shit's about to jump the shark. And had this season come out a year ago, had this season fucking come out 6 months ago, I would have been like, House of Cards jumped the shark. This is unbelievable. This is ridiculous. Instead, now I'm watching this like, Lord, please don't let anybody from Trump's administration be watching this shit.
Because this is,
it's totally, now it's believable.
And you know they're watching it.
Yeah, and now it's like, don't give this motherfucker any ideas.
They're watching.
I don't want to give it away, but that's what it is now. It's like, please don't give this nigga any ideas.
They're watching.
So, but it's incredible how we have crossed this chasm so quickly. I said this about Scandal, where like, stuff that before
would be really
oh my God, or really shocking, or like intriguing, or whatever, or even like this is unbelievable, I don't believe this shit would ever fly, is now like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. That probably happened.
Right, and also shout out to the Handmaid's Tale, which is a Hulu original.
I haven't watched that yet. That is good.
Which is based on a dystopian book. Mm-hmm. And it's the same kind of thing. It's about like, you know, in the future after a group of men, basically under the guise of being like a religious right-wing movement, basically overthrow the country and restore what they call kind of order with a certain hierarchy, which puts men back at the top and reduces what women are doing. But same shit, like as you're seeing in the book when they're talking about how the overthrow happened and how people were kind of just like, basically like, it was so gradual that people were like, yeah, but like, they're not going to really do blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, they're going to suspend the Constitution for a little while. No, it totally makes sense. Yeah, we'll have another election eventually, of course. You know, like that type of shit. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Like, it's scary when you're really like, yeah.
Because like, happen. Your man's wild.
Yeah.
I want to say peace to Beyonce, just because I was so impressed that Coachella announced her performing a year early. Like, right. I don't think they've ever done it a year out. So she's performing next June 2018.
That's crazy.
And they are, and the tickets go on sale tomorrow. So
well,
I'm like,
that might have also been to.
Well, part of it is, of course, because she couldn't do it this year.
Yeah, to kind of like, to show quickly that, like, no, but she's going to.
But still, like, I've never seen Coachella or any festival put tickets out a year
that's
in
crazy.
Advance.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, they know how the ticket's going to be. So they're like, yo, get them now because it's Beyonce.
Yeah, as soon as she dropped them babies, people going to get them tickets.
I think those people can buy the tickets tomorrow.
No, they are, but I mean, but the
niggas is crazy.
Them babies might be here.
A year from now,
my name.
I can't even imagine what I was doing last year today. A year. Like,
I promise you, motherfuckers will be.
Yo, I'm not even trying to be dark. Like last year,
yeah.
I had my mother and my sister. Like, you know how long a year? Like, nigga,
a year. Yeah.
Right.
I'd be booking vacation like 3 months away or 2 months away. Like
that's why it blew me away when I saw
a year?
It.
Yeah.
That's why it blew me away when I saw
see,
it.
See, I wouldn't be able to buy Coachella tickets for next year because I don't know what I'm going to do.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, who knows? Like, fuck.
A lot of grown-ups.
A year?
I'm telling you, motherfuckers. I bet you that they crash that shit tomorrow.
God bless them.
Yeah, I'm not doing it, but I'm saying, but I won't be surprised if you're a Ticketmaster crash for a little bit because they went ham on the Coachella. Yeah, it was impressive. I was like, wow. Let's get on into a couple of the TV things that we all watched. He don't label no more, so I ain't gotta be careful about that one. T.I. and Tiny.
Oh boy,
this caused a lot of. Wait, you know what? I want to save that one because I want to go a little deeper on that. Let's talk about Laura Govan.
Oh boy.
So Laura Govan from Basketball Wives, LA, right?
Yes.
Yes. Basketball LA. She was on Fix My Life with Auntie Ayanna last Saturday night. And the gist of her show was her trying to figure out how to come to some sort of resolution with Gilbert Arenas and to get her parents, her father especially, to understand that she was telling the truth when she was younger about being molested.
Right.
That was kind of like the two biggest meatballs.
Well,
I guess,
and also
on the show.
For Ayanna to try to understand.
Oh, and that she thinks that her sister fucked Gilbert.
Right. But also Ayanna trying to understand what the nature of the relationship between Laura's parents to each other and Laura's parents to her was, because she was basically like, I've never seen a woman come from a two-parent household and act like she acts.
Yeah.
Which was kind of valid to me.
Yeah. So the Pops, old school Oakland, mm-hmm. 74 years old, look great for his age, 74
Are
years
they
old.
Spanish or something?
The mom is. The okay. mom is Mexican, the father's
okay.
black.
Okay.
And, you know, one of those old school men, it's my way or the highway, I don't want to hear shit, have my dinner ready. And somebody made a good point online. So our parents have been married, I think they said, for 45 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Her father's 74, her mother is 60-something. So somebody did some math.
Younger.
Yeah, when they got married, the father was 29 and the mother was only 19.
Yeah, the father might have been like coming back from the service or something
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So it also felt like the dad was, he ran his shit like, I don't want no back talk. Like, I'm going to have people, these women, and he had a house full of women because he has two daughters. I think there's only two of them, or there are more kids?
No, I think it's only two.
There's only two of them, right? So he basically ran his house like, y'all are the women, y'all cook clean and shut the fuck up, and I do everything.
Right.
And Laura, you know, said that she was abused. They blanked the person out who it was. The father didn't really want to deal with it or believe
it. Well, what seemed to happen was Laura says she told them a long time ago,
yeah.
and they ignored her. Her father was like, her father was harping on,
how?
You never told me.
Yeah.
So apparently when Laura came back to him later and was like, I told you this happened, instead of addressing what happened, he was like, you're lying. You never told me.
Yeah.
So like he got stuck on,
you never told me that,
instead of actually addressing what happened.
I got molested by, I don't know who it was. So
she's like, they don't believe what happened. And her father basically like, I didn't even really hear what you said. I just know you never told me. Like, I'm not even worried about what you told me. I'm just saying you ain't telling me. Yeah.
And then Laura's convinced. I mean, to the point where I think I got to believe her that her sister fucked Gilbert. She said it before. She said that on the show, on the Basketball Wives show. And she said that she has, you know, lots of evidence mm-hmm. to show that it actually happened. And that was another thing that. So that the parents didn't believe her. So Laura's attitude towards the parents was like, yo, no matter what I do, y'all don't believe me. Y'all think I'm just a liar and I'm a fuck up.
They have a brother.
I thought there might have been another child. Yeah. But it basically like, y'all just think I'm a liar and I'm a fuck up. And I just, now I've also heard, allegedly.
The drugs involved?
Not the drugs, okay. But allegedly. So the dad was a high school basketball coach.
Oh, you said this, yeah.
So, you know, they're two pretty girls.
Yeah.
So allegedly, and he mentioned coaching basketball on the show mm-hmm. as well. So allegedly, he would kind of use Laura and Gloria right. as kind of like bait for the guys on the team.
Right.
Like, hey, you know, go over there and flirt with him and, you know, ask him if he want to play ball and this type of shit. So he also kind of used his daughters as a little bit of bait and stuff like that, but allegedly,
right?
As well, too. So this is a very kind of
here's the thing that's weird to me because Laura's the older one, right?
Laura's older, yeah.
Gloria seems crazy. I mean, some of this I believe is fronting, but Gloria seems well adjusted. Crazy ass relationship with Matt aside, she seems pretty well adjusted.
She seems very adjusted now with Derek Fisher. She seems
chilling. Just as a person, period. Like, even when she was on the show, there wasn't a whole lot of over-the-top
Yeah, topness. Laura was over the top.
Laura was over the top. And I mean, when Laura got on the show, like, I understood why Laura initially was so, like, I'm gonna wear a fucking,
yeah,
you know,
my earrings and my designs.
I'm gonna wear my earrings and my shirt open and a belt. And like, that's it. Yeah, I'm gonna wear my earrings and a jacket and a belt. And
Why are you in the kitchen with a leather jacket on?
Right. Like
what?
But like with just a leather jacket and a belt and some shoes.
Where are you going?
So I understood it at first because when Laura first got on the show, she had just had.
Talking about basketball-wise.
Basketball-wise. She had just had the most recent of her and Gilbert's kids.
Yeah,
she was
4 kids now, right?
Right. And she was kind of like out of shape. Yeah, she was, you know, she was bigger. Mm. She didn't really look like herself. She had been I think she had been even prettier than she is now, like some time
ago. She's a pretty girl, both of them.
Yeah.
She's pretty
girl. But I think she had been even prettier. She had been a little. And this is going to sound, I know this is going to sound horrible. I'm sorry, y'all.
Well,
but
you're a woman, so you can say she
seemed a little softer. Right now she feels very angular to me, like her. Her features.
She's definitely had work done.
Yeah, and she felt a little more, kind of a little more like her sister. Like, she's a little softer.
Mm-hmm.
And like her hair was longer. And so now she's like got a kind of edgy mm-hmm. look. Side shaved and all that. So she lost some weight regularly, but then she tightened it all up with some work for sure. So I think at first it was a factor of y'all was on TV for a year, like not looking like myself, feeling crazy, and now I need to like kind of build my self-esteem back up and show everybody like I got my body back and I did whatever. It's like, okay, but now it's been years. And, you know, Ayanna said to her, I don't know if I would have said it to her this way, but Ayanna was like coming here looking like a mother and like a whatever. And I don't know if I would have said it like that because it is true. Like, there's no way to define
what a mother
should look like. But I don't need your titties out.
Yeah, you look like an IG model.
I was trying to say, like, this isn't functional clothing.
It's not.
It's just not functional. Like, you can't say what I always say.
Where you going?
Exactly. There's nothing. You're not doing anything that would require attention from your children.
Right.
Dressed like this.
Yeah.
True.
It's just not. And, you know, like you said, I think the dad... First of all, I have a very, I don't have a soft spot, that's the wrong word, but I have a very clear understanding of men of color of a certain age.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they grew up in the
brutal,
fucking, like, James,
yeah.
Joe Jackson,
right.
Ike,
right.
Like, they grew up in the fucking, man, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. I know we read it now.
Yeah.
And we might look at some clips, but you know, that shit was their everyday existence growing up. So I can understand how a man of that age would be like that. I also can understand how a man of that age would go try to ignore sexual abuse.
Absolutely. Because how you handle it with your little girl?
I also think that showed the more sort of the culture of how we deal with that.
Yes.
Especially for men of that age.
Yeah.
And how we don't ever really address how common this was for those generations.
Yep.
Still is.
And, yes. Still is common, but
back then, it was those generations.
Yes, because it was, you know, there was no phone. There was no
camera. There
was
no hotlines.
There was none of that.
Yeah.
So if you was off with your uncle in the fucking backwoods or whatever happened, it was just you saying it.
You got to pray that he wasn't that type of guy.
And even if he knew, and even if your family knew your uncle was that kind of way, they just be like, all right, baby, just come over here.
Most of them be like, keep the babies away from class.
Open the door. It's too quiet.
Keep that door
up
open, class. Yeah. You know,
But I totally can see that. I think he's, you know, listen, I think he's an awful dad.
Yes.
For multiple reasons.
That much is clear.
Not just obviously not protecting his daughter in a very literal sense from an abuser, but not making his daughter feel like she was believed. And you can see how that has damaged her and affected her in a way that has been, I don't know if that's repairable.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
And you see why her relationship with Gilbert is the way it is.
Right.
And Ayanna pointed that out. She's like, basically, he does the same thing that your father did. Like, he treats her like shit, and she fights. Laura's a fighter, though.
Right.
That's her thing. She's like, I'm popping off in a heartbeat.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, anybody. But
But he taught them that. That's the thing. She told the dad that he taught them two things. A, to be fighters. But sometimes even when fighting is counterproductive, like to just be
just,
in the fight.
Just go ham.
But B, that the man runs shit.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So she's fighting against this man, even though it's a man who does the shit that, like, her dad. Because her dad was basically like, I was never there, but, like, this is how the house was supposed to be run. Mm-hmm. You know, I said what went, and it went. And I was like, okay, you taught them that the man doesn't have to be there, but he needs to call the shots. And I could see his resistance to really owning any of this. And yeah. Apparently...
Well, I think that, you know, again, men of that age, men of that ilk, nurturing children was not a part of being a father.
It was putting bread on the table. 70,
for 75-year-old men, I assure you, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. I did, this was my contribution to this family, is literally putting a roof over your head and putting food on the table. I am not doing anything else.
Right.
And you guys are to serve me. Yeah. You guys are to make sure that this house is the way I want
it's
it to
clean,
be.
Yeah.
And everything is where it's supposed to be. And I'm going to be out to 2 in the morning. And you ain't going to say shit when I come
in. Yeah, because, and that's why Ayanna's actually been pretty good this season. To her credit, she said to Laura and them, yo, it's a big deal that your father's even doing this.
Yes.
She said that a few times. Like,
yeah, like the fact that he was even there.
Yeah, like, the fact he's even here doing this shit is a big deal.
And
because,
he wasn't a complete asshole about it.
Because she was like, basically, like Sean's like, Laura, I was like, I know this type of nigga. Like, I know him, and I know that most niggas like him wouldn't even be on TV doing this shit.
I also think that there is a... when we talk about child support and sort of... when we talk about extended families and what that means, like, I definitely feel like the dad was reaping the benefits of having the ex-son-in-law as the athlete.
Oh, yeah, because the dad said him and Gilbert's still cool.
Which is, like, I didn't hear that, but that to me would have stopped shooting. Right now. Like, get the fuck out of my presence.
Right.
Like, the fact that you would even be cool. So what's crazy to me is that you would say, no, he can't have his children, but I'm going to still be cool with him. So your grandkids can't be around him, but we going to be cool.
We can go get a drink.
Like, that's... So to me, it actually lends itself to the allegedness of, hey, you go out there and
yeah.
Right.
Because to me, I think that... Again, he didn't say this, but I wasn't surprised if his thought process was, I raised my daughters and they're successful because they both married NBA niggas with paper. Like, you know, she married Gilbert. Laura has been with two publicly, Matt.
Right.
And now Derek Fisher.
Right, right.
So he's like, hey, they living in nice houses and they got money and cars.
Right.
I did my job.
Right, right.
They're not fucked up.
Right.
You know what I mean? They fly us down to L.A. for Christmas and da-da-da.
Right.
I did my job.
Right.
And I think that's his thought process.
Well, I will say, like, Ayanna was trying with them, but, you know, I'm sure there was a lot more tape that we didn't see.
And at the end, she said she don't speak to her parents.
No. Yeah, it was way too condensed. I feel like they ain't fixed shit. Laura
needed a couple episodes.
Laura was literally in Dubai, motherfucking. I was looking on the ground. When the show aired, her ass was in Dubai.
And you know what happened when he went in Dubai, right?
I mean, she was apparently a guest of Dubai Fashion. But I know, Jeffrey. But literally, and Laura and Gloria
ain't been
fucking with each other.
Oh, they don't fuck with each other at all. I don't think they speak at all.
When you say you fucked my husband, right? Like, I mean, I think that the line is drawn in the sand on us not really being.
And I also would bet that is a big factor. But I wouldn't be surprised. There's also like some underlying jealousy because Laura's probably looking at Gloria like,
and Gloria's just
I took a lot of the brunt because I'm the older one. I took a lot of the brunt at the crib, and now Gloria, you went from Matt, you know, to now Derek Fisher, who they, you know, from publicly seemed to have a very solid relationship. You know, Derek, you know, took them boys in, he taking to get haircuts into the baseball game, and so it's like, damn, you won, meanwhile I'm out here
also,
still fucking with this dude.
Gloria and Matt, well, I mean, like Gloria and Matt shit was tumultuous, but it was never as ugly publicly
as the Gilbert shit.
Because the Gilbert shit, like,
Gilbert's a foul nigga.
But and they've been through this shit like multiple times.
Many
you know what
years.
I mean? Like, even between the kids, they were going through it. You know
if
what
you
mean?
Told me 6 months from now that they reconciled and they were back
together.
You
wouldn't be shocked.
No. Nope, right.
I would not be shocked at all. I think that they are codependent in their abusiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that he needs her to take the abuse as much as she...
And she needs the outlet.
She needs... Yes.
Yeah.
I think that...
She needs something to do.
If you told me that they would have this tumultuous relationship for the next 25 years, it would not shock me at all.
He's 63 years old.
And on and on.
Take your father out. Take his father to play your father.
So fuck him.
You know, your mama say I can't come to the third step.
Right.
All that sort of stupid shit.
But it's hard. It's also harder for Gloria, though, because, like, she's got four kids. It's a lot different moving on with two kids than it is moving on with four kids. You got four kids by this crazy ass Negro.
And you're butt naked in Dubai. So, we know what's going on over there.
Doing some strange with a little piece of chain.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Make them holler for a
dollar. Hey, check cleared.
Basically, Ayala, you tried, but you ain't fix shit.
Yeah, she ain't fix shit. I want to just mention real quick, since we're doing TV, real quick, I want to mention Real Housewives of Potomac. Just because, hey, you know what? It's not Real Housewives of Atlanta, but it's a pretty good replacement. Like,
I fuck with the show harder this season than I did last season. It's a little bit more interesting.
They're catching a stride.
Well, because last season, so much of the plot lines were just about their status and
being light skinned, you know what I'm saying?
Biracial, biracial, and just your light skin, how black you gonna claim and you're not gonna claim now. We got some real shit going on.
Yeah.
Like, now we got,
Ashley.
We got Ashley and her fucking failing ass
Sugar
restaurant.
Daddy.
But Ashley trying to be in everybody else's business. And we have Charisse, is that her name?
Charisse.
You know, Charisse.
The one I think I'm with the Morgan with.
Charisse dealing with her divorce. Like, whereas last year she wanted to act like everything was sweet.
Yeah, the stuff in
Jersey. She was trying to act like shit was sweet in her marriage. And now we're actually dealing with, like, the aftermath there.
And we got Robin and Juan.
We got Robin and Juan. I don't know what the fuck Robin is holding on to. I don't know what
So Juan Dixon's a former NBA basketball player. Also played, won the championship at University of Maryland. He's married to this woman, Robin.
No, they're divorced.
That's right. They are divorced, but they still live together.
Yeah.
But they live together.
Right.
And so he's at the point now.
But
like,
his money's fucked up. So that's part of the reason they still live together. Yeah.
He's coaching now. I think maybe at Maryland somewhere. Some college, but
he's well coaching women, I think.
Yeah, but now he's at the point now where she say anything and he bite her head off. She'd be like, hey, you want a piece of gum? Seriously, Robin?
I gotta go. I'm just trying to get out of here.
So she said something real lightweight, like it wasn't even deep. And he bit her head off and then walked into the other room, still mic'd up, and told one of the producers, basically, like,
I don't know how long to do this.
I don't even like being here. I don't like this guy. And every time he's around, he's always like looking at his phone. Right. He's always looking like he got another gal somewhere else and he's trying to figure out another excuse to get the hell out of this house.
I'm surprised he's even on the season as much as he is. He wasn't on that much last season.
You think they're paying him, bro?
Yeah, I think
that's probably why he's on.
Gave him a little change. So I'm surprised because I was surprised he was on his season as much.
Because the first season,
or they told her we need more
storylines.
And they both need the check because it's a fucking they in the same
house. Yeah, they're downsizing the house.
Like now, the house they live in is Robin's house. She owns that.
And they moved to a townhouse, right? Yeah, they had to downsize from the house.
She's owned it. And they moved back into her townhouse. And I mean, there's a couple things there. Aside from Juan losing his job, apparently they had a friend who was investing their money for them. Who burned them. Who like stole / lost like all of their savings and like wiped them out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's
on the show?
They've talked about it a couple times. She talked about it last year because the girl Ashley, being nosy again, had been saying, like, I Googled them and I found that they went through like bankruptcy or whatever. And Robin said them what happened. And now, like, in light of that, because Juan wasn't working last year at all, you know, they had to downsize now and go into the townhouse. So she's been honest about that. She's talked about that. And I mean, the thing is, let her tell it. Juan wants them to get back together, but because Juan cheated on her before, she can't open herself up to that. So he wants them, if they're going to live in the house, to have a romantic relationship, whatever.
That's
She's
bullshit.
Cool with the roommate shit. Let Ashley tell it, Juan fucking somebody else.
He is.
And that, but it's like, is he fucking somebody else? Because Robin won't fuck, whatever, but he's seeing somebody else. Juan, I think, is just like, fuck this roommate shit. Because it's like, you can't bring no broads home. You can't bring no, you know, so he's, especially like, now you're in a smaller house.
We're doing is playing video games and
Yeah, but also now you're in a smaller house, you can't, You can't bring nobody home. You can't
that,
have you on
not,
space.
Not just that. He's also now, his roles are reversed.
Yeah. Right?
So he is no longer the person who is able to. Because I also
She's
think
the
that.
Winner.
I also think that when you're in the position that he was when he was playing, that it allows you to stick your chest out a little
yeah,
more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And say, I be home. I be where I'm at.
Yeah. I'm going to be where I'm at.
I'm going to the moon. Yeah. You know, that sort of shit, right? So you can do that then. Well, guess what? You can't really do that now.
Nope.
Because you can fuck around and come back to that townhouse and them locks be changed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that there's that pressure. I think that there's the frustration of, you know, having this stump in his career and not really being able to catch on and latch on. And listen, coaching, that's a nomadic job. That's a very patchy job. If you can...
You don't make a lot of money when you start.
You don't make a lot of money when you start. And a lot of that shit is like you basically working to work.
Yeah.
The money you make is basically getting you
bullshit.
To and from.
Yeah.
And
lunch.
You know, and basically.
Yeah. And Juan's only 34.
Well,
so I'm sure he's also looking at guys like, damn, like I played with this guy. Like, he's still a young guy. LeBron's 32.
Yeah.
So he's only 2 years older than LeBron.
And Juan ain't have like endorsement deals.
Nah, so he's probably.
Listen, Juan is going to be, you know, listen, I think Juan's probably going to get a good pension. Juan,
I think he played the league long enough to get the pension.
He's going
to
be what we like to call, you know, rich people broke. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to be poor people broke. Juan is not, he's not going to be looking for a roommate on Craigslist.
Yeah.
I promise y'all. So
he'll have a car. He'll
Yeah.
It may not be the new shit.
Yeah, but he'll be all right. Yeah.
It might be an 09 Lexus.
Yeah, but he'll have some.
Navi be broke. Yeah, yeah. Right? So, all right.
I got that Range Rover. The 2010. The body shit.
So, and that's fine. I think Robin, I think ultimately, Robin is one of those women who sort of feels obligated to Juan.
Plus the kids.
Yeah.
Helping him.
Don't want to leave him when he's down.
Don't want to leave him when he's down.
Yep.
And I also feel like, you know, shit, at this point, she might be looking at it like, I'm going to have to pay this nigga.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. But cheaper to keep him.
But I also think
she loves.
Well,
also, they've been together so long.
I was going to say that.
Since high school, right?
That's the biggest thing.
Some real
thing,
love and basketball shit.
The biggest thing for her is going to be going out there in them streets.
Yeah.
And it's cold out there in them streets.
Yes, Lord.
And it's hard out there in them streets.
Yeah.
And you're not the spring chicken anymore. And I'm not saying that, listen, she's an attractive
woman. She's a good-looking woman.
She's an attractive woman.
Yeah.
But your pool of applicants have dwindled.
She's
when you
Giselle
are now,
out there bouncing around.
When
so
you're 40, when you're 40 in D.C., your pool of applicants has shrunk because your competition is for real.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Competing from 22 to 52.
Fresh out of Howard.
All that.
Yeah, all
that's
that.
All
yeah.
your competition
yeah.
in terms of, you know, finding
yeah.
a man.
Yeah.
If that's even what she wants to do. But my point is, I think she really does love, dude. I think she feels like they are soulmates, even if they're not married.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think she just, listen, they definitely smashing. So Juan could play all that shit he want, but definitely, he definitely giving her the I love you stroke.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear none of it. He can, he missed me with all that bullshit, my nigga. That nigga is balls deep with the I love you stroke. So, whatever.
Humping his back.
Yeah, and they got the hunch in his back. All that. Whatever. And, I mean, it is what it is. Ashley, you know, she gets on my nerves. She's annoying as fuck.
She's annoying as fuck. She thinks she knows. You've been married. You're 5 years old and you've been married 2 seconds.
To a nigga who's 60.
And you think you know everything about
It's like what was annoying about Ashley was like she felt like one of those women who, or one of those people, I should say. It's not just necessarily women. But like one of those people who have this idea of marriage and what marriage is supposed to be. And the moment that the sort of honeymoon phase, I'm using air quotes, the honeymoon phase wears off, like, it's doom and gloom.
It's over.
Like, yo, man, like, you know why he's getting up and he don't want to cuddle? Because he knows he has a fucking money pit.
Yeah.
That's why he don't want to cuddle, my nigga. Because he got a money pit and he know he got to get to the bag in the morning to make sure that not only is my lifestyle okay.
But like, my retirement.
And
he has children.
He got close to retirement. Yeah.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you are
like,
here,
I can't have this young
playing,
thing fucking up my whole
playing restaurant.
Yeah.
Playing restaurant. This chick was serving fucking
emu.
Kobe. Was serving fucking Kobe beef skewers. I want to say whatever it was, like, she was selling, like, $40 worth of meat for, like, a $20 plate. He was like, do you not understand that we are losing money every fucking time you put this plate up? And she was like, no, but the thing, and he was like, she understands nothing.
I still think Ashley ended up fucking that chef, that young chef.
She, she probably will, listen.
You know, like, in the back room, about produce.
I don't know. I don't think she'd be that risky yet. I don't think she'd be that risky yet.
She
but
might
like,
give him a hand job, maybe.
Yeah, she might give him a little rub.
Turn away for the tomato.
A little slap and tickle.
No full penetration.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like she'd be that risky yet because she doesn't have anything to fall back on.
True.
Well, she definitely knows that by her PR laden, you know, response. I think that it was sort of eye opening watching that because I feel like I've had these sort of discussions before, and I tell people all the time, you know, restaurants are they're a sexy conversation piece.
Right.
It's very cool.
I own a restaurant.
Yeah. You're the talk of the party.
Yeah. Right.
But the majority of them close.
The majority of them close. They are basically. They will take your liquidity and they will flush that shit down the toilet. Like, you will literally, it's almost the equivalent to taking a fucking pile of money out of the bank and throwing that shit in the fireplace and squirting some lighter fluid and just lighting it on fire. Right. Because it is such a, because when you run a restaurant, and they're not running a shop.
Yeah, big restaurant.
These are the things that I say, like,
downtown
you
DC.
You signing the lease, bruh. You signing the lease between, if you got really good landlords, maybe you sign a 5-year lease.
Yeah.
If you got hard ass landlords, you sign the 7-year leases. Right. You know, like these are, you know, this is a big financial commitment that you are not just, guys, when you sign a lease, like you're fucking obligated to that money.
Yeah.
Like, you might have landlords that say, okay, you know, we'll move you out. You know, you pay 2 months here.
But they don't have to.
They don't have to. They can legally hold you to that money. They can come to your shit.
Yep.
So, yes, that stuff hangs over your head. I'm speaking as someone who had a restaurant.
Yeah.
That shit is grueling. It is.
You gotta be there every day.
Listen, man, I'm telling you. That shit, the people don't understand the back end business of a restaurant. They think it is purely about the plate of food that comes out and the service. And while that is vital to a restaurant survival, it is also vital that you understand numbers, how that affects you, your per check order. Mm-hmm. How are you able to, do you have enough staff?
What how you your turn the tables?
How you turn the tables? How fast are people in and out? How are you able to calculate that? Or do you have a point of sale system? Are you able to say when I need to order this, when I need to not order this?
Right.
All of those things matter because you're going down to the cent.
And she doesn't have that. And they've revamped the menu now like 3 times. You can't just keep revamping menus. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to at some point figure some other shit out. And the thing that really got me about their conversation was that when they started arguing, she immediately went personal.
Yeah.
Like, she was calling him an asshole.
Yeah.
And she was calling him a bully and all this other stuff. When all he was really saying to her, like, this shit doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, we might need to close the restaurant down. And also, you planned this whole big press event and you didn't tell me about it till fucking 2 days before. Yeah. Like, what do you think? You didn't loop me in on the planning.
Nothing.
You didn't loop me. So if you consider us part, like, she's like, well, you're supposed to be my partner, but even that's not a partnership. You're not telling me what's going
on. And yeah, we're not really partners because I put up all the money.
All of it.
If you want to put, if you want to make sweat equity, which is a real thing, then guess what? Your partners who put up the money, if you're going 50-50 and you're sweat equity, then he should never have to come down there unless it's to review books.
Yeah. True.
He shouldn't be involved in any sort of day-to-day operations because that's your sweat equity and your contribution.
Right.
I foot the bill, you do the work. That's how this is supposed to go.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a difference in that, that's fine.
Right.
But you guys discuss that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, owning a restaurant is not having your face beat and wearing a tight dress and being a maitre d'.
And just meeting greeting people. That's a hostess.
You're
a hostess.
That's what I'm saying. It's a sexy conversation piece. It gave her something to do. You know what, man? You want something to do? Like, go to the fucking to the puppy shelter, okay?
Yeah.
And help out with the puppies.
Yeah.
Okay? You want to open something up? Get a fucking food truck. How about we start there?
Right.
Let's start there. You want to cook. That's not and sexy. You're not even a cook. You're not a fucking cook. Yeah. You're not a chef. You've got no, experience. You got no experience in any facet of the restaurant business. None.
And
not,
like Giselle
not the real
said,
estate business. Not no business.
And like
you got
Giselle
no
said,
business.
Don't nobody want no emu.
Yeah. Like, nigga, put some wings on the plate and let's go.
Yeah, kangaroo burgers.
Get some motherfucking greens back there. You know what I'm saying? With some smoked turkey. And let's get this motherfucker cracking. Get Sister Watkins, make you some yellow chocolate cake. Word. Fold it up, put the plastic on top. With the hard icing.
Plastic on 10 icing off.
Yeah.
But needless to say, we recommend y'all watch Real Housewives of Potomac. Cause
yeah, because I want to know what y'all feel about Monique. Because she get on my nerves, but Jeff likes her.
And peace to my man Ray.
Oh,
Ray has slowly become one of my favorite TV
Ray
people.
Checked Giselle so bad, feelings was hurt.
Yo, he went straight to who you going to Applebee's with.
And he was right. He's like, yo, like, you ain't no spring chicken. You still out here trying to move, thinking you move around. You 25, the hot chick on the block.
He's like,
you
in 40 2 seconds,
something.
Your kids ain't going to want to hang out with you no more.
They you 40-something. You out here fucking around. And she's like, you see this? Because, you keep yourself together. But shorty, even with that, like Sean said, she's a good-looking woman, but, like, you're competing against the 25-year-old chick who just graduated from Georgetown.
Yeah.
Like, they don't give a fuck about your, this is a different animal.
And you don't seem fun.
Yeah.
You seem like a real fuck, you seem like a lot.
Yeah, a
you
lot.
You seem like one of those people that is just a lot to maintain. Right. You got to give a lot of attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're in a mini skirt with a leather jacket. Going to a go-kart race.
Well,
that too. I was like, same thing like Laura. Where you going?
She seemed fun at the beginning of last season.
You think the TV shit got to her head?
I think she's taking the TV personality shit too seriously, and I think she's too self-aware of being on the show. Like, I think she started, you know how some of these people start living their life as the reality show? Because Giselle, I remember in the beginning of last season, like, even though I thought She was a little too ooh girl, you know, like she, like sometimes the sassiness was a little too much. I liked her. She seemed lighter, you know, and now she often like the face be tight, you know what I mean? Like she's sad and something.
She's got a nasty attitude.
Makeup's a little cartoonish at times.
Yeah. So I think she is taking her role as like the Nene of Housewives of Potomac.
But you know what? Look, go forth and prosper. Right. If this shit can, you know, give you some commas in your account,
God bless.
Yeah, but the little corny dude is really trying to like have a partnership. Like he's not trying to date, he's trying to marry. And she's playing.
I could tell you what's gonna happen with that. Little corny dude gonna get fed up with the fucking cat and mouse game.
Right.
Okay. And he gonna fuck around and meet Charlene that worked down at the call center and got her Camry paid off. And her kids going to college.
Yeah.
And they can fuck all day in the house.
It's all
and whatever.
Yeah. And she cooking.
And you know what I'm saying?
She
can make some greens.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Charlene, we got to go in the gym together.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the one other thing I will say in Giselle's defense, I guess, is that I'm guessing some of this that we see with her is holdover from being like a very public first lady, even though her and Jamal have been split for a very long time. There's something about that black mega church first lady.
Yeah, but she don't act like no first lady. Not now.
Yeah, true. God bless, God bless her.
I just want to mention this T.I. and Tiny thing, but I wanted to get to a deeper discussion. So, T.I. and Tiny's final season of their show was this season. The last episode was last week. And the meat of the episode was T.I. and Tiny sitting down at dinner and discussing the state of their marriage and their relationship and where it was going. Now, they had kind of had a similar discussion a couple of episodes earlier, which was definitely lighter. Like, right. I mean, it was a serious discussion, but then Tip started to say stuff to her like, you was with me when I first made my first million dollars.
I was with you when you made your first.
Yeah, we've been through some good stuff together. And like, no one ever is going to be able to replace that with either one of us. We really, grew up together and it was cool. Like, you can see they were settling on the fact that they might not move forward, but it was cool. This time, it was way more harsh from Tip's side.
Yeah.
He was just coming at her basically like, He's very upset up on the show anyway.
Yeah.
About the Floyd Mayweather thing. Right. Still, he's still mad that she was around Floyd
and taking pictures posted yeah,
in a video of them dancing.
And it was supposed to be done highly disrespectful.
Exactly. And he feels like because she did that, no matter what he did in the past,
it's even.
Which right. to me, and this is where I want to go deeper, because I was watching. Do a lot of dudes on Twitter and stuff and Instagram who are kind of like co-signing that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got into it with a couple dudes last night. I was like, you niggas sound retarded. Like,
that's crazy.
Like, we don't even know if Tiny actually slept or did anything with Floyd. She said she didn't. Floyd actually said he didn't. He's like, yo, it's my friend. Like, we don't get down with that. Whether they did or didn't, I don't know. But Tip has, like, you know, I guess we got, I don't know if it's even allegedly.
Right.
He's philandered. I don't know the arc of their relationship, but I believe
Tiny knows there was a kid out of the, there was a kid outside the marriage.
Now is that the girl, the younger girl?
Was
that a child that's not been on the show?
I think it's a child that's not. I don't think that kid has been on the show.
Okay, because even with the younger girl,
the youngest girl is Tiny's. They just had that one.
No, not that one. Well, she's the middle. The one is very quiet.
Oh, I don't watch that show. I don't know.
Okay, there's a middle child daughter who's very quiet.
Oh, then yeah, I think that's it because Tiny and Tip only have boys.
Yeah, until the little girl.
But I'm
saying, but the one that's quiet, I think came while they might have still been dealing because that girl's only about 14 now. Like it feels like it was some overlap. The oldest ones, I don't know.
The oldest girls are Tiny's.
Yeah, but the oldest boys,
I don't know
when they came.
Right.
I don't know if they came while they were together or not.
Right.
But bottom line is, there's been a lot of stuff that Tip has done. And Tiny's been eating it and eating it and eating it. And she said that the only time that she goes back to making, you know, stuff public with Floyd, because that's her kind of only get back with Tip. But my thing was like, I'm not saying Tiny's like an angel at all.
Right.
But I'm like, yo, like, comparing publicly anyway, what he's done to what she's done, there's no comparison. And the dude's like, yeah, but you can't be my enemy. My girl can't never be around my enemy no matter what. I'm like, what are you niggas on a fucking video game?
And that was the thing,
dumb
right?
shit like, is this? You niggas sound like you're motherfucking the Warriors. Right. Nigga, what the fuck are you talking about?
Tip's argument was essentially that, and this was all ego. This was all just like some macho shit. The fact that you publicly aligned yourself with a person who I publicly had beef with in any way to intentionally disrespect and embarrass me is the same as anything I privately did to you. So
I've provided so much financially and stuff to this relationship and bought you houses and cars and stuff that no matter what I do,
it should be cool. Tiny was the star when she got with Tip.
Yeah, Tiny just caught a check because they got a check from Ed Sheeran.
Right.
So he just caught millions.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tiny and Candy are all the writing teams.
Yeah.
Like Scrubs.
Yeah.
Bills. That's not just Candy. That's Tiny and Candy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what people don't really realize. That's Tiny and Candy.
And actually, the only reason that Candy went on to write more stuff without Tiny. Was because of Tip.
Tiny became a wife and a mother.
Yeah, she fell back because Candy was like, yo, let's keep this partnership going on some, you know, Jam and Lewis shit.
Right.
And Tip was like, you don't need to be working.
Right, so like the word on the street is definitely that Tip is super controlling. Super like, I'm going to be over here, but you stay there.
What's that word on the street? Because
like, I'm going to do what I do, but as soon as you do what you do, I'm going to come back to ask you what you're doing.
But that was the interesting thing about this season, because that was the word on the street. But on this season...
You saw it?
Yeah, he said it.
Oh, okay.
He was saying, like, when she went to him about the escape thing, they had a whole thing, and he was like, who's going to be your manager? And who's going to do this? You need to get a manager. You know, you girls are hard to deal with. Blah, blah, blah. And she was like, she said they were going to have a talk with... What did they say they were going to talk to? Hiram Hicks.
Okay.
I think it was Hiram Hicks. Someone, whatever. We're going to have some meetings. What's going to happen? Blah, blah. And she was like, yeah. And he was like, well, you guys go on the road and get your money. And then, you know, but we got to figure out something here with this baby thing. What we're going to do here? And she was like, well, I'm going to take the baby on the road. And he was like, hold up. No, you're not.
Right.
The baby can't be on the road. The road ain't no place for no baby. And so they have this whole big argument about her taking the baby on the road, and she's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Right.
He's like, you can't take the baby on the road. You got to make sacrifices, because if I'm going to be going out, and you can, and he's, she's basically like, nigga, so you can go on the road.
Go, right.
You're not going to stay here and watch the baby.
Right.
But I can't go on the road.
With the baby.
With the baby.
Right.
So I got to dead this whole escape thing.
Right.
And sit in the house. Because right. you don't want the baby on the road, but you're not going to take care of the baby.
Right, right,
It was like, nigga, what is wrong with you?
Right.
But that's that old black Southern man shit.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, like, this has been when a woman's fed up. That's what we're watching play out. Because this has been the dynamic in their relationship for so long. And Tiny is finally at a point where she's like, nigga, I want to do some shit. Like, okay. let me live. Shit.
Yeah, and I've got some talent. Yeah. And I know, I blew mad opportunities to make more paper. Yeah.
And I mean, she's getting older. Like her window is gonna close.
And the break, like, and the baby, the little baby, I believe, was partially to try to, in her mind, hopefully to save it, and it didn't work.
Yeah, and it didn't work. And I mean, and also, like, it's weird because Tip is acting out at a point where, in my opinion, at least, he has less leverage. Like, he's still a star, but he's not as big a star.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't out there knocking down movies and triple platinum albums like he was doing before. He's not even on a major anymore, right?
No.
Right. He's releasing independently, and his new persona is that of family man. So you're about to bust up your family?
Well, it was.
Right. It was a family man. So now you're about to bust up your family, and you know, Tiny's probably like, "Well, shit, what the fuck? I'm sacrificing all this other stuff for just for you to act an ass, and we ain't even. It's not even for the same things. Like, it was one thing when you was out there killing it, and like, but it's like, my dude." This chick was willing to take a bid for you, dude. Like Tiny was going to go to jail.
I know. I remember.
She was going to take that hit. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to jail for no motherfucker. I don't give a fuck. Yeah,
Greg. Don't go put my mind in that, Greg.
I could love you. You could be the father of my kids. All that shit. I'm not going to jail for your ass.
Yeah.
Tiny was about to do it.
She really was.
Like to keep him from getting in a deeper hole.
Yeah.
Like, who else? Like, a lot of bitches say they ride or die, but my nigga.
Well, she's really
like,
ride or die.
Especially once you have, like, real money, real access, real status. She was telling her to do that shit.
Yeah.
That alone, for that reason alone, you need to sit your ass at home.
Yeah. Tiny got a mugshot.
Yes.
Because of Tip.
Because of Tip.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, you know what? This is running its course. I don't feel like doing this no more. I don't want thot and pop.
Bernice, whatever the fuck her name is, not doing a bit for you.
And whoever. Oh, and the other thing was, because I know you didn't see it, mm-hmm. What also took Tiny over the top was, so Tiny, guess, had a girl group that she was working with.
Her daughter's group, right?
No, it was another group.
Okay.
That she was working with. She didn't mention a group, but she said she had another group. So she would bring the group around and stuff to work with them, and then Tip ended up smashing.
Oh, he ended up fucking one of them, right?
Yeah, like, a few times.
Right.
Like, that wasn't just like a one-off, or like, he was blazing, like, to the point, I guess, where Tiny and the girl got into it.
Right.
Because he was blazing on a regular basis. Right. And so, he's like, he said something to her like, you knew me and that guy had some issues. Well, I don't understand why you do that. And then she was like, yeah, but what
like,
about
this? Oh, I didn't see the part, but you fucked the girl. And he's like, but were y'all at odds? Sir. Clifford.
I've had my savage days, but even I was like, nigga.
Right.
I mean, come on.
I couldn't believe this conversation was happening on tape. I was like, holy shit.
So, I mean,
I can only imagine the shit they talk about where ain't no cameras.
My bigger point was, it just really blew my mind to see so many cats on...
Super caping.
Yeah, on social media. It's like, you niggas, I mean, me and Sean have talked about this on the show before, but like, so many of these niggas have such a real warped sense of like
women
and what women is supposed to be. And
yeah, I think, and, you know, I think that, you know, raised by the barbershop internet culture and social media culture has allowed
raised by the internet
that. And I mean, I don't argue with them because they're stupid to me. Like, like they're not worth the argument. Like, you're not worth the argument. Like, the time I have to take. Like, when you say certain things, it registers to me that you're so far gone.
Yeah, then whatever.
Off the dumb spectrum. Yeah. Like, it's not worth me.
We're not even having a real
because I'm never going to engage with you on a regular playing field.
True.
Right?
True, yeah.
Like, you stupid.
Yeah, you dumb nigga.
You can't sit at the grown up table at the dinner party.
Or you the nigga at the barbershop, and I'm just sitting there like, oh my God.
I put my headphones in.
Yeah.
I put my headphones in.
It was a trip. I want to mention this Michael Jackson Lifetime movie. Did y'all watch it?
No. Nobody watched it.
Not at all.
Oh, the ratings was terrible?
I don't know if the ratings was terrible. I know that very few people on the timeline were watching it, and I didn't even really remember seeing any real promo for it.
Yeah, I watched.
I feel like they just kind of floated that one out there.
I watched some of it. The guy who played Michael was
apparently
Indian.
He had an Indian. He had an
Indian accent. It was like a British accent. It was like, what am I looking at here, man? It was crazy.
I feel like they knew it was trash though, because like I said, Lifetime usually goes so hard, but Lifetime went so hard to promote Whitney and to promote what was the other joint they did? Even when they were doing Saved by the Bell. But I saw like nothing for this.
I think Susan the Past might have had something to do with this movie.
I seriously doubt it.
Really?
I seriously doubt that anybody outside of the body, because from what I understand, it was based on the Bodyguard's
book. Yeah, it was based on the Bodyguard's book.
As a former bodyguard, it disgusts me. It bothers me.
That he wrote it?
Listen, man, I can understand money being enticing to people. I really can. Mm. I understand, you know, and this is that's a feast of famine business.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there's a
protocol.
There's a sanctity with a client. Yeah. And you should be able, there should be things that go to the grave.
Yeah.
About the people that you protect.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You're not just there to protect them from other people, you know, you're there to protect them from themselves in a lot of cases as well.
True.
And there is an intimate relationship between Eunice don't automatically jump in front of a fucking bullet or get into some shit that is going to be detrimental to your well-being for somebody that you're not really vested in.
True.
So, you know, I mean, listen, God bless them. They got their check. You know, I don't want to say Sully Michael's name because I didn't watch the movie.
And the movie didn't make Michael look bad. It made the people around Michael look bad. Like there was vultures getting at Michael.
That's not a new take.
Right.
That's not a new take. This is all stuff that we know. We know that, you know, there were points when Michael was basically cut off from his family, cut off from people who, you know, genuinely cared about him. Mm-hmm. You know, this was probably around the time he was going into debt. You know what I'm saying? Because he wasn't really out like that. He was spending a shitload of money on, you know,
anything.
Overhead and just staff. I was like, yo, could you imagine what his monthly nut was?
Right, oh my God. I literally can't. It's
got to be unreal, dude.
Yeah. I literally can't.
If you told me that monthly nut for that place was like $800,000, it would not surprise me.
Dude. I actually would imagine it was more. Yeah.
Probably.
I always tell people, Central Park is 800, I think it's 862 acres of land. Mm. Neverland was 2,700 acres. So it was almost four Central Parks.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it said it took like a smooth half hour to get from the gate to the crib.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the shit was nuts.
Yeah.
Well, is nuts. Like, the property is insane.
I mean, I just feel, it is what it is. All right. It's their business that they chose.
I wanted to end up with, just wanted to mention, I just want to mention this Portland killing. I wanted to just say to the people out there, it sounds, kind of cliche, but like, I think more than ever, just like, be on guard.
Yeah.
Because these folks is out here really wilding.
Yeah, so I'm like, gonna say, keep your head on a swivel.
Yes, for real, because they stab and they killing. Even just you seeing women and men, but it seems like more women, like, just taping people, like, in the grocery store, calling them nigga and going off on them.
Yeah, like, you're speaking Spanish and fucking Mary Jean, go back to where you're.
Or a motherfucker was speaking, somebody spoke Spanish to their mom in the airport, and a motherfucker in a wheelchair was going off like, get out of my fucking country. He's like, nigga, you in a wheelchair? Like, the boldness is unbelievable.
I would have cleaned.
Yo.
Knocked him out that motherfucker.
I would pushed his ass down five gates.
I would have tripped over that wheelchair. And I would have crushed the motherfucking crutches. Yeah. He wouldn't have been going nowhere today, goddamn.
Yo, that shit was crazy.
So it was, but you know, like you said, man, just pay attention. Yeah. And really, man, you know, I hope this doesn't. You know, this is obviously, not normal circumstances. So I hope this doesn't discourage people from feeling the need to come to a citizen's aid. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't want to see people hurt and harmed.
Right.
And, you know, I think collectively we've gotten so everybody pulls out their phone or everybody's like minding business. You know, and so I really, you know, that's some brave shit. Like to really, like something in you has to really, you know, be happening in your spirit to get up and defend somebody that you don't know from a whole. Because again, you have to assume anybody that's doing that is willing to kill you. That's how you have to operate.
Yeah. And willing to die.
And willing to whatever. So you have no idea what's going on. Yeah. And you, you know, when you make that judgment, you know, you kind of, that's, this is the possibility of the outcome.
Yeah. Two guys died, you know, protecting these Muslim girls who were just minding their business on, I think on the bus,
about
right?
The yeah.
Yeah. So it's please be careful out there. But just, you know what? I mean, be careful, definitely, but just be on point. Like, because you might have to swing on a motherfucker, like, for real, because it's getting into that space.
And, you know, I just, I don't want to say, you know, be mindful, you know, to try and disengage to some degree.
Right.
And I want people to understand, like, disengaging doesn't mean that you're cowering. It doesn't mean that you are taking this on the chin or whatever. But, like, understand your surroundings. Understand who you are. Like, you know, what can happen right now?
Right.
Play that shit out in your mind really quick brief before you just take action. And, you know, and now you in a situation you really can't get out
of. So I just want to mention that. And the last thing before we wrap up, I just wanted to mention Dapper Dan and Gucci.
Yeah.
So Dapper Dan, for those who don't know, is a New York, well-known in New York anyway, I guess fashion designer,
he's a fashion designer.
He's a fashion designer, but he was known mostly, for lack of a better term, as kind of like a bootlegger.
Yeah, well, what he would do is he would take prints, whether they were real or fake, whatever. He would take prints of like the old Gucci logo. This is back in the 80s, old Gucci logo, Louis Vuitton logo,
MCM.
Those are the three biggest ones.
Yeah.
And he would make clothes, like outfits, hats, you know, full, you know, suits or coats.
All the old LL Cool J videos, Run DMC shit, like a lot of the
all my pictures of Mike Tyson.
A lot of the shit you see from the 80s, when you see them in like leather, like full leather logo suits and shit like that, that was Dapper Dan. They sell that at the fucking Louis Vuitton. Or when you see people driving and that whole fucking interior of their car was
Teddy had a M3, the old M3, and he had Louis Vuitton, everything inside, the seats and all that.
That was Dapper Dan. So when you see anytime you see some old shit in hip-hop or R&B, because he mostly did it for urban artists, and you're like, Gucci made that? No, Gucci did not make that.
Yeah, Dapper Dan made that. Yeah. So there's
you could give him any design, any kind of suit shape, shirt shape, whatever, and he
hooked
it up.
So there's a hood famous picture of a track star named Diane Dixon.
Right.
Is she from New York original? Maybe.
I can't remember
where Diane Dixon's from. She might be. Like, she's like, I think she's like in the Olympics. Like, she's
I think she's a medalist.
Yeah, she is a medalist. So she has on in this picture a fur coat. Which is fur in the middle. So
it's like a fur vest.
Fur vest, but the sleeves are these big balloon sleeves, and they're made of Louis Vuitton. You know, the Louis Vuitton vinyl brown and gold.
She's from Brooklyn.
I thought she was from New York. I was in Brooklyn or Queens. So this picture's been around forever.
It's from like 1990, 89, 90, somewhere in there. She said it was later. Some people were saying it was from the 80s. She said it was like from 90 or something.
Okay, I thought it was from the 80s. But
it looks like the 80s, but it could have been 89.
Okay, 80s. It's been a while.
It could have been 89.
Yeah, so, anyway, pictures been around forever. So
we still had asymmetrical haircuts.
Absolutely. Yeah, door knockers. So Gucci just put out the Gucci Cruise line, and the Gucci Cruise line, it was a picture of, there's a coat made literally identical to the Diane Dixon coat, except with Gucci balloon instead of Louis Vuitton balloon. So that went out, and then everybody on social media got hold of it and started doing the side-by-side comparisons, saying basically that Gucci stole Dapper Dan's
After Gucci sent after, you know, because what ended up happening with Dan is, like, he still does his thing, but he can't do it the same way because the label started coming after
coming
him
down on
with
him.
Cease and desist and all stuff. I mean, which is within their rights. I'm not going to knock him for that. Yeah. But that's the irony of it. Like, you shut this man down, but to now take his creativity design and flip it.
It's literally the same coat. Yeah. Except it's with Gucci instead of Louis. It's like exactly the same coat.
So people are like, at least acknowledge his flair and his flavor.
Yeah,
you know what
where
I mean?
You got it from.
Yeah.
So Gucci released a statement, I guess, yesterday?
Yeah, I think so.
Saying, basically, they acknowledge it. Like, yo, like, you know, we were doing this in tribute to Dapper Dan. I mean, it was crafted, of course. Like, we were doing this in tribute to Dapper Dan, his creativity and the streets culture and blah, 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 blah. I don't think Dan's getting any bread from it. But, you know, it felt like social media kind of spurned this thing to the point where Gucci had
to
acknowledge
it. Yeah.
You know, what you think about it, bro?
Well, I got an unpopular opinion.
That
jacket was ugly in 1987. And it was ugly as shit. It was just as ugly in 2017. It's an ugly fucking jacket. It's comically ugly, right? God bless her.
Right.
And that's totally New York swag.
Yeah.
Totally. I wonder if she still got it.
No, she says that she either has it in store somewhere or she might have sold it back to Dan because there was a time where he was trying to get back
his stuff.
A lot of the stuff that he made.
Yeah.
Okay.
And listen, it would really be... To me, I've always sort of felt weird about this, right? Like, Dan was, he was infringing on copyrights.
And making real money. Like, Diane said that coat cost her $5,000. Like, he was making bootleg stuff, but he was charging, like...
$5,000, 87.
He was charging Louis Gucci money.
And Dan sort of talks about this in the documentary that VH1 did. I think it was, like...
About the clothes?
And so... Dan really catered to entertainers and dope boys.
Yeah.
And this is when crack was fucking ripping the asshole out of hood. So there was money hand over fist.
Yeah.
It was not uncommon.
It was a lot of flat cars.
It was not uncommon
flashy,
The Mike Tyson fight with Mitch Green happened at Dapper Dan's.
Yeah.
Right.
Dan's used to be open all night long because they had people working in there all night long turning that stuff out. So listen, he had a great run, and eventually they're going to sue you, right? For copyright infringement, right? I mean, I don't understand why people are so up in arms that I saw somebody tweet, "We're not supporting nobody that sued Dapper Dan."
Like, that's really? Which is silly. No, Dapper Dan.
These Gucci flip flops is $195 on sale, nigga. Right. I'm finna cop.
So Dan left himself completely exposed. There was only so long he was gonna be able to get away with it. But the thing is that when he started in a different era. Like the logo infringement that we know of today didn't exist yet back then. Because first of all, there wasn't the internet, there wasn't the whatever. So
yeah, a lot of the people in those fashion houses didn't even know he was doing it.
He wasn't on their radar. Yeah. And I mean, shit, it was up until fucking 2000, you could still go to Chinatown and get some really good shit. This stuff is really still relatively new in terms of like the crackdown on the knockoffs. But I think what makes people still want to support Dan in a way. And I don't know how you really do this, is that he wasn't just doing knockoffs. He was taking your logo
and creating.
He was just using their logos to charge outrageous prices.
Now, what would be great is if Gucci did, you know, maybe a small little line.
A little collection
for him, a seasonal collection for him, see how it does. You know, he's got stuff. Yeah, listen, I've seen him recently. His swag and his style is still immaculate.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, nigga, he gonna give you all of that Harlem uptown flavor, every bit of it.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to do a clothing line, but again, those things are very, very difficult to start up.
Yeah,
it's not expensive.
It's not easy.
What people wanted about Dan's shit was that you could have some designer shit that nobody else had. They didn't just want the Dan design.
Yeah.
They wanted you can't buy this at Louis.
You can't buy this at Louis, and you're never going to see this again.
On anybody. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he wasn't duplicating. It's not like
he wasn't doing
duplicating.
Multiples.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
he was doing it for you.
Yeah. Doing it for you. Yeah. Now, it might have been a variation, and there's a variance.
Yeah.
Or you might have had the big Gucci logo on the back of your jacket, and his didn't, and stuff like that.
Yeah, but still,
yeah.
But I mean, you know, I know we got to wrap up, but my thing thing was, you know, back to the racism type shit. So there's a line now called Gucci Ghost.
That's and, knockoffs, right?
No, it's not knockoffs, but what it is there's a guy, I think, Thomas, something Thomas is his name. I forget his first name. He's on Twitter, I mean, on Instagram. But he's a graffiti artist.
Right.
So he was going around just doing graffiti of a ghost with the G's.
That and was then, his tag. And then they took him on.
Somebody from Gucci saw that. Yeah, called him up.
Right.
And was like, hey, yo, you want to try a line?
Yeah.
And now his line is like, he's got jewelry and clothing. His shit is popping.
If Gucci has.
So they could do that.
If they have their hand on the pulse and they understand timing,
right,
tone, and what people are really saying under the anger.
Right.
Which is, we fuck with Dan.
Yeah, give
Dan was a part of the culture.
Yeah.
And right, they would, and we will support Dan. I assure you, if they did a limited edition at Neiman's, a run, or wherever, like, boom. That shit is flying off the shelf.
And that's what I'm saying. They did that with the guy who did Gucci Ghost. Like, he's in, I think this might be his second or even third collection. His shit is flying. Right. So my point is, somebody in there is on the pulse. Because, you know, if they weren't on the pulse, they wouldn't even issue that statement.
They wouldn't have issued the statement. And also, I actually read that Gucci right now, and I had even said this, so I'm glad I wasn't tripping. I was seeing stuff, and I was like, with the newest Gucci lines, I was like, I like it, but it looks like fake Gucci. And that's actually a thing right now. Where they're doing it on purpose to make it look like knockoffs, like it's the trend.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this looks like fake Gucci I would have got 10 years ago.
So it's
it's on, they're doing that on purpose.
It's the whole streetwear taking over.
That shit, no way.
Yeah.
They don't make nothing in 2X. My thick neck.
Get a hat. Win.
That's why you need to go to jail.
My dead ass can't wear them hats either. My head too big.
Lord,
my
shit, gloves.
Nothing. I'm good. Feet too wide for the shoes. I go in there.
The new Gucci sneakers are fucking flames too, by the way.
With the
snake on them and all that shit. Them shit's just flames. Okay, yeah. I got an old Gucci pair. I'm gonna break them out this summer. Anyway, shit. We're gonna wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
We see y'all next week.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.